our analysis of ISIS's operations after the U.S. intervened in late 2014 indicates that ISIS waged a sophisticated campaign to evade the strategic defeat of its caliphate and return to an offensive insurgency in order to sidestep the momentum of the anti-ISIS campaign against ISIS's physical control and revert to a more dispersed insurgent posture that would maximize ISIS's strengths for fighting that type of war and exploit the vulnerabilities of the anti-ISIS coalition, which is not postured or prepared to combat a large-scale insurgency.
Okay, talk to me a little bit about the numbers, comparing ISIS to AQI, essentially in the same phase of their existences.
Sure. So the latest estimate we have is from the Defense Intelligence Agency in October of 2018, which estimated that ISIS has as many as 30,000 fighters across Iraq and Syria. This is a very noteworthy estimate because that is actually the same number that the CIA estimated that ISIS had in mid-2014 when it launched its blitz campaign that seized Mosul City, most of Sunni Iraq, and eastern Syria. Compared to al-Qaeda in Iraq, ISIS has many, many, many times greater the size of a force. So we have 30,000 ISIS fighters, whereas AQI, al-Qaeda in Iraq, had as many as 1,000 at the time when U.S. forces withdrew. So this is orders of magnitude different.
Mm-hmm. At one point during the early existence of the ISIS organization, it was estimated that they were worth and had perhaps more than $1 billion in their coffers. Where does their financial situation stand right now?
Sure. I'm not sure that anybody has an accurate assessment of the full scope and scale of ISIS's financial resources. But we know a couple things. There are estimates that ISIS retained as much as $400 million after its physical loss of its major cities of Mosul and Raqqa, which is a substantial sort of war chest. But ISIS also maintained a global network of financiers dispersed throughout the Middle East, Europe, and even parts of East Asia that continue to generate resources and fund ISIS's expansion to new provinces abroad, as well as funding its reconstitution inside of Iraq and Syria. Finally, we know that ISIS's dispersed forces are scaling back up local extortion of populations, which has actually been ISIS's primary source of revenue since it was established after U.S. forces invaded Iraq. So we have, for instance, the reimposition of ISIS's Zakat tax on local farmers and other civilians in northeastern Iraq and parts of Syria, which is contributing additional resources to the ISIS insurgency.
Where is the money now? The millions of hundreds of millions of dollars, if they still have that, where is that? What form is that money?
Yeah, that's a good question. From what we know, ISIS has established a complex web of sort of front companies, but also has invested in local businesses such as car dealerships and other local businesses that provide ISIS the ability to transfer resources, but also, again, likely to funnel the money that it gains from the extortion of local communities. Finally, in some cases, we have examples of ISIS literally digging up millions of dollars of cash that they buried underground before losing terrain in order to preserve it for the next phase of the fight.
Interesting. We have heard you talk so far about ISIS reconstituting some of its key capabilities. What exactly are they reconstituting, and where do you think their capabilities, how high or how far and wide or deep could their new capabilities go?
Sure. So the primary things that ISIS is reconstituting include that financial network and the local extortion capabilities, including the organizational structures necessary to conduct that kind of campaign. We also see them reconstituting their media capabilities, which appear to have crossed a threshold approximately July of last year when we saw renewed standardization and centralized control over ISIS's propaganda, which ISIS had actually lost some control over after it lost Mosul and Raqqa. So we've seen those media capabilities reconstitute. Third, ISIS is reconstituting its command and control. The ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi changed the ISIS organizational structure to assert greater control over the dispersed ISIS forces in Iraq and then separately inside of Syria to enable him to build back up an effective cadre of military commanders after battlefield losses and an internal purge that Baghdadi conducted degraded some of that ISIS ability actually to give orders to its forces and have them executed. So we're seeing Baghdadi reconstitute those that capable echelon of military commanders. Finally, ISIS is reconstituting a high-end lethal capability that is signature to the organization, which is its use of car bombs or vehicle-borne IEDs, which require advanced development of explosives, as well as the wiring of those explosives into cars. That requires actually quite a bit of organizational structure and resources and skill to be able to conduct those kinds of attacks at a very large scale. And we're starting to see the scale of those kinds of attacks increase, reflecting a reconstitution of that key capability.
Jennifer Caffarella, Research Director at the Institute for the Study of War. JJ Green, WTOP News.